Jill Schlesinger back from the south of France. Jill on Money, CBS News. I hope everything was really wonderful. And
you know, I don't go to the south of France in the winter, mister. Oh. That just, you know, I'm hanging out in my yacht in the summertime. Oh. That's when I go.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I did not receive the invitation.
To be clear, I did not leave New York State for the entire holiday.
Really?
So yeah. Why would I? It's the best state in the world, except for the nutmeg state.
Except for Connecticut, yeah. Financial resolution. I'm not a big fan of resolutions in general, although I do think it's good to do temperature checking and take a look. So what are sort of the things you're thinking about?
Well, you know, Fidelity Investments does this New Year's financial resolution study. They've been doing it for 16 years. And, you know, I always love this where they say two-thirds of people say that they're going to make, they want to have a better financial life. Who's the one-third?
Yeah.
Who wants to have a worse financial life?
Nobody.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, top resolutions are always the same. Save more, pay down debt, spend less. But, you know, there's a big change in the survey this year, which it's always very funny to do these segments because when there is a change, it's so shocking to me. But the big change is the respondents now say they're much more focused on short term rather than long term. And you know why? Because people plowed through their savings accounts when inflation spiked, and now they're like, uh-oh, I need to rebuild my short-term savings. And that's a big change from the past. So that is something that's happening. And so that's a biggie. Look, you know, it's very difficult when you're thinking about any sort of resolution. So I'm going to tell you the most important thing is to make it concrete. So instead of saying, I'm going to save more, you can say, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that I save 6 to 12 months of my living expenses in a safe place. I'm going to build an automatic transfer of that amount from my checking account to build the fund. That's like very specific is very helpful. And same thing, I'm going to try to pay down my debt. Well, you know, you want to look at that the highest interest debt and say, how much money can I put towards that? Not just the minimum payment. How much more can I put towards that? And automatically set that transfer up. And if you say I want to actually save more for the long term, then go on into your retirement account and increase that percentage, even if it's just by 1%. It's really helpful.
Is it? Okay, there's a whole bunch of things. For me, it's like, it's been hard to save at all because my income isn't going up, but my costs have gone up. So it's just been much more difficult. But do you advocate, especially someone like me in my 50s, putting more in the 401k past the match?
Oh, you know, listen, it's a very difficult juggling act. So the one question I think you would ask yourself is, you know, do I have free cash flow? Is there some money? Like you said, it's harder, right? There are certain industries that are consolidating media, right? And so if I'm not making as much money or I'm making the same amount of money, my costs are going up, I guess the question becomes, what's my priority, right? So if you say, look, my priority is I just blew through all of my savings and I do need that to be built up, then I think you should build that up and keep money up to the match into your retirement account. If you've got that savings account that's already covering 6 to 12 months and you don't have any outstanding student loans or credit card debt and you have a little bit of wiggle room, sure, you can put a bit more money into your retirement account. Again, what we look at over time is automating these things because when you automate it, it kind of takes the decision making out of your hands and you're more likely to stick to it.
Right.
But I, you know, look, if you say to me, hey, you know what? I really want to buy a house this year. I know that mortgage rates stink, but I've run the numbers. I can do that. Maybe it's more important for you to keep putting money into that home down payment fund. So it's all about your own priorities, which is really why doing any sort of financial planning for the masses and saying, here's what you should do, it's so unique to who you are.
Hmm. Jill Schlesinger, Jill on Money, as well as her role with CBS News. You go to jillonmoney.com and read all of her stuff and listen to her podcasts and her appearances. Sorry, I'm a little foggy. Listen, I want to ask you, though, we've had 20% plus gains in the market the last 2 years.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk sometimes about, you know, taking profits, this and that. But I mean, are we sort of poised for something on the negative side?
You know, you're always poised for something on the negative side. Is that a terrible thing to tell you? That like that is every single day that there's always a possibility. What we know is for right now, the economy is in pretty good shape. We are creating jobs. People are making money. The inflation rate is slowly but surely coming down. Doesn't mean that uniformly that everything is great. and every sector is moving in lockstep. But we have had two 20% plus years of gains in the S&P 500. You know, I don't want to make anyone crazy, but it is the best 2 years since 1997 and 1998. Now, if you recall way back then, you were a toddler, but those 2 years were followed by an unbelievable 1999, and then something very bad happened in 2000. Mm. So I'm not saying that we're not like repealing market cycles. There will be a downward move. It will catch people by surprise. But for this moment, as we enter into the first trading week, full trading week of the year, what I can tell you is that, you know, for all intents and purposes, there's nothing horrible on the horizon, which is usually when something bad really does happen.
And you said about jobs, we have a big jobs report coming up on Friday?
Yeah, we have on Friday. And, you know, listen, I think that when we, you know, sort of take a big picture look, what we know is that the labor market is cooling down. We're probably going to have, I don't know, about 150,000 jobs created. Remember, we had that weird thing in the fall where there was a bad report, then a good report. So let's just pretend we have that report out. And I tell you, 150,000 jobs were created. The unemployment rate stays at 4.2%. That's pretty consistent with sort of a nicely growing trend type of report. If it's a lot more than that, I would be surprised. And but if it were less and people start getting freaked out that, oh my God, the economy's slowing down, we don't have a lot of evidence so far in the current surveys that show that we are slowing down precipitously. So I don't necessarily think that the economy is in like looking at dire straits. I think markets were pretty robust coming into the end of the year, and we didn't finish quite as strong as everyone had thought, but two great years, amazing. But don't forget, those two great years came after a lousy 2022, so those years can come at any time.
Yeah. And obviously bad news in jobs could be good news in terms of rate cuts, right? I mean, if it's a pretty strong report, we're probably not going to get another cut.
Yeah, I mean, there's a Fed meeting in January. I think it's highly unlikely that they cut at that meeting. Don't forget, at the last meeting of the year, the Fed releases its own projections, right? And they believe, not that they're always right, but they think they're going to cut two times in 2025. So that would be only a 0.5 percentage point reduction from where we are right now. And that is why your all rates have not like plummeted, because remember we looked like things were really moving in the right direction for borrowers. And then we got that Fed meeting and they said, nah, we're not going to cut so fast because the economy is still growing. It's sort of they're not cutting so fast for a good reason. So we'll get the minutes from the last Fed meeting out in the middle of this week. Oh, and by the way, don't forget on Thursday, mm-hmm. National Day of Mourning, equity markets, stock markets are closed. So no trading on the 9th.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I did not know that. Thank you for
that.
Bond
markets are closing early, which is weird. Those bond guys never like to work, but they're opening for the half a day.
Well, thanks for telling. I didn't know that. Thanks for that piece of info. And welcome back.
Hey, welcome back to you.
I didn't go very far or take much time off, but thank you. Jill Schlesinger, CBS News, and Jill on Money.